Today is July 3rd, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing from Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the moment shadow banking overtook regulated depository institutions globally, what Darius Dale's read on a hawkish to dovish Fed sequencing means for bank duration risk, and how Kalshi's regulated perpetual futures launch is reshaping prediction markets into real financial infrastructure. Let's start with the number that should be sitting on every risk committee's desk this week, $131 trillion. That's the value of global shadow banking assets in 2024, according to the Financial Stability Board's Global Monitoring Report. For the first time in modern financial history, non-bank credit, private credit funds, hedge funds, private equity vehicles has surpassed regulated depository institutions in scale, representing 51% of a $258 trillion global asset base. This is not a niche story. This is the plumbing of the financial system quietly rerouting itself around the banks. The broader fintech pattern here is valuation opacity meeting scale. Private credit alone stands at roughly $2 trillion, growing at an estimated 20 to 25% compound annual rate since 2020. Four firms, Blackstone Credit, Apollo, Ares, and Blue Owl, collectively manage over $800 billion in private credit strategies. And here's the structural tension. Those same sponsors are marking their own portfolio companies, valuations that flow directly into LP reporting and, increasingly, into public technology earnings. Equity issuance in the first half of 2025 hit a record $251 billion, blowing past the prior record of about $210 billion set in the first half of 2021. PE-backed companies made up an estimated 60 to 65% of that volume. Read plainly, sponsors may be monetizing ahead of a private credit repricing cycle they can see coming before the rest of the market does. Meanwhile, credit quality is already cracking beneath the surface. Moody's Leveraged Finance Default Monitor puts the leveraged loan default rate at 4.2% in the first quarter of 2025 versus a 3.1% long-term average. High-yield spreads widened 85 basis points before partial recovery, and Chapter 11 filings are running 40% higher year-over-year through the first half of 2025. This is the environment private credit's quarterly lag valuation models have to survive. Now to monetary policy, where 42 Macro's Darius Dale is making a provocative argument about the Warsh Federal Reserve. Dale frames current Fed communication as a deliberate hawkish to dovish sequencing strategy, essentially a play-action pass, hawkish rhetoric now to manage expectations, dovish pivot later once the groundwork is laid. This matters because headline CPI is annualizing at 8% on a three-month basis as of June 2026, even as money markets are pricing just 24 basis points of tightening over the next 12 months, down 7 basis points day over day following the June jobs report. Looking at the regulatory and policy landscape underneath that number, Dale's labor market data tells an uncomfortable story. The civilian labor force is contracting at a 2.5% six-month annualized rate, while private sector job openings are expanding 19.6% over the same window, a 22.1 percentage point divergence between labor supply and demand that structurally supports wage inflation regardless of what the headline unemployment rate suggests. And that headline number itself is misleading. The long-term unemployed share of total unemployment sits at 27.3%, up sharply from a 17.8% trough in February 2023. Adjusted for participation effects, Dale estimates real U3 unemployment would register 5.5%, not the near 4% officially reported. Claudia Somm of New Century Advisors adds important context here, too. Inflation near 4% marks a sixth consecutive year of Fed mandate noncompliance, and at the June 2025 FOMC meeting, 9 of 18 officials favored rate increases against just one favoring cuts, the most hawkish internal Fed configuration since the 2022 to 2023 hiking cycle. For bank fixed income desks, the term premium math is the piece worth stress testing explicitly. Dale places the current term premium at 40 to 50 basis points against a 190 basis point long run mean. Should that premium normalize, 10-year Treasury fair value would sit between 5.25 and 5.9%, a repricing risk of roughly 140 to 150 basis points, sitting largely unpriced in current positioning. Layer onto this Dale's estimate that hyperscale AI capital expenditure will represent 2.4% of U.S. nominal GDP in 2026 and 3.5% in 2027, accounting for over a quarter of expected nominal growth in that latter year. And you have a Fed navigating inflation persistence, labor mirage, and an AI CapEx supercycle simultaneously. The third major thread this week is the institutionalization of prediction markets, and Cauchy is the clearest visual data point for how fast this category is evolving. Cauchy's CFTC-approved perpetual futures product has become the fastest-growing launch in its category, according to CEO Tarek Mansour, and Cauchy now controls over 90% of U.S. prediction market share. More importantly, this success has triggered litigation from incumbent exchanges, a signal, per Mansour's own account, that rollover fee revenue representing roughly 20% of traditional futures exchange top line is the specific economic interest now under direct threat. This is what market structure disruption looks like in real time, not a slow migration, but a regulated entrant capturing share fast enough to draw a lawsuit within its first cycle. On the regulatory landscape more broadly, the pattern is one of closing arbitrage. The FDIC's third-party risk guidance and the OCC's bank-as-a-service handbook both signal regulators systematically shutting the gap between bank-regulated activity and shadow banking activity. The CFPB's Section 1033 Open Banking Rule, finalized in October 2024, mandates data portability for banks holding $850 million or more in assets, phasing in from 2026 for large institutions through 2029 and 2030 for community banks. And internationally, the picture rhymes. The EU's AI FMD2 is phasing an enhanced liquidity and leverage reporting for private funds. The ECB has identified 1.2 trillion euros in EU private credit exposure at leverage ratios averaging 1.8 to 1. And the UK's FCA is pursuing enhanced liquidity reporting for private market funds in the wake of the LDI crisis. Everywhere you look, regulators are chasing a shadow banking sector that has already grown larger than the system built to supervise it. There's an opportunity side to this, too. Tokenization of real-world assets reached $15 billion on-chain in 2024 and is projected by Boston Consulting Group to scale to $16 trillion by 2030. BlackRock's Biddle Fund and JP Morgan's JPM Coin, which processes over $1 billion daily in institutional settlements, show this infrastructure has already moved from pilot to production. For banks willing to build custody and issuance capability ahead of full regulatory finalization, that's a genuine first-mover window. FinTech thesis update. What changed today is the confirmation that shadow banking's dominance is no longer a forecast. It's the current base case, at 51% of global assets, and growing faster than the regulated system it now overshadows. Layer that against a Fed running a deliberate rhetorical sequencing strategy while real labor slack and real inflation persistence sit underneath a deceptively calm headline print. And you get a fixed income repricing risk that's being actively underpriced. And in market structure, Cauchy's 90% share and the litigation it's drawing confirm that regulated prediction markets have crossed from novelty into contested infrastructure. The common thread across all three, valuation opacity and regulatory lag, are now the defining risk variables for anyone underwriting fintech exposure into the second half of this year. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.